Well, we've been learning about the biblical principles that will help us navigate the ups and downs of marriage. And this morning, we want to look at the topic of how to communicate well as husband and wife. Sometimes that can be a tricky ordeal and a difficult process. It's like the young couple who had just been married a couple of years, but all of a sudden they were experiencing real marital difficulty, and it just wasn't going as planned, and they couldn't really get along about anything, and everything just turned into a fight, and it was really beginning to become very discouraging and even depressing. And so they decided that they had lost all hope. The only thing they could do now was go and get some counseling. And so they researched, they found a counselor, they set the appointment, the day came. They got there, they went into the lobby, and they were seated, and they waited a moment, and then they were back into a back room. They were taken back there. They sat down on the couch, and they waited for a counselor to come in. And finally, a counselor came in and sat down on a chair just across from them there in the room and introduced himself and got to know them very quickly, and then kind of dived right in and said, well, why are we here? What seems to be the problem? And he directed that question over to the husband, and the husband heard that, and he just kind of shrugged his shoulders and slouched in his chair. He may have given a grunt, but didn't really have a lot to say. And the counselor wasn't getting anywhere there, you know. So the counselor looked over at the wife and he said, well, ma'am, what seems to be the problem? And he no longer asked the question. She took off. I mean, 90 miles an hour, she was telling about all the problems they were having and the difficulties and the disagreements and the areas where they weren't seeing eye to eye and all the things they couldn't work through. And everything went back to something wrong the husband was doing. And the counselor was starting to get concerned. I mean, he didn't even know she was breathing. She was just kind of talking so fast about all the issues and problems and so on. About 15 minutes passed of this dialogue from her. And finally, that counselor stood up out of his chair. He walked over to the woman in mid-sentence. And he grabbed her by the shoulders and he picked her up off that couch. And he gave her a big hug. And then he kissed her right on the mouth. And she was shocked. The husband was shocked. Obviously, the counselor was not a Christian. But everybody in the room was just kind of shocked at what was happening right now. And the counselor stood back and looked at the husband. He said, now, sir, that's what your wife needs every week, twice a week. That's what she needs. And the husband looked at her, still kind of dazed and in disbelief, and said, well, I guess I could bring her here every Tuesday and Thursday. You know, that was kind of his thought as to how that could be resolved. And the truth of the matter is, sometimes there are challenges in our relationship that we often feel are the other person's fault and they need to do something about it, or someone from the outside is going to have to fix it because we can't have any part in it. And the truth of the matter is we can, and God can help us to do it. A woman went to court and she told the judge that she wanted a divorce. And he said, well, do you have any grounds? And she said, well, just 2 acres. And he said, no, that's not what I mean. I mean, are you holding a grudge? And she said, no, we park our cars in front of the house. And the judge began to get a little frustrated with this. And he said, well, does your husband beat you up? And she said, no, I get up before he does. And he said, well, then why do you want a divorce? And the woman said, I don't really know. He just says I'm hard to communicate with. And sometimes communication in our relationship is a struggle, and sometimes we don't know why. But the truth of the matter is, deep oneness and unity can only be achieved in the marital relationship where good communication exists. If two people are going to walk together, work together, and live together, they have to have a good communication system. Scripture asks in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? And wherever you find two people living harmoniously together, you can be sure that they're in agreement. And wherever you find two people that are living in agreement, you can be sure that they have learned how to communicate one with the other. And apart from our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, our marriage is second in priority only to that and everything else in life. We learned in Genesis chapter 2 that we were to leave and cleave unto our spouse. And how can two become one? Well, it's going to require a good communication system. That's a must-have. Can you be married and not communicate well? Yes. Can you have a great marriage and not communicate well? Absolutely not. You have to have good communication in the marriage relationship. And in order to experience this oneness that God intends in the marriage relationship for the husband and the wife to experience, you have to have a healthy communication system. Jay Adams said, communication is the basic skill needed to establish and maintain sound relationships. A sound husband and wife relationship is impossible apart from a good communication system. And wherever you find marital failure, you'll find a breakdown in real communication. And wherever you find marital success in a relationship that is thriving, you'll find good communication. So, as we look to the Word of God this morning, what does a good communication system require? What are some biblical principles that we need in applying it to our marital relationship? But notice with me in our study this morning, number one, that good communication requires mutual openness and honesty. Good communication requires mutual openness and honesty. And so we understand in the Word of God that if we're going to have a good communication system, that there has to be an equal commitment between the husband and wife to be mutually open and honest. Now notice what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So we have to speak the truth. That has to happen in the context of marriage. The Bible says in 1 John 1, 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You and your spouse are not going to enjoy the depth of fellowship and oneness and unity that God intended if you're not walking in the light. So if you're keeping your spouse in the dark, if there's not truth being communicated, then there's not the fellowship that God intends, because that's impossible apart from the truth. And so honesty and openness and communication are essential for a good relationship. We have to be open and revealing ourselves one to the other. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:11 in your notes, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. You know what the Bible is saying? The Bible is saying, you don't know what's going on inside of somebody else's heart. Only God does. I could go my whole married life and never know what's really going on inside of Susanna, because I'm not God. And if I want to know what's going on inside, I'm going to have to ask, and she's going to have to communicate. We're going to have to be open, and we're going to have to be honest. This is not something we're going to understand or discover aside from that. And here's why this is so important. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Has there ever been a behavior that you've seen in your spouse and wondered, why is that happening? For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's really important that you and I know what's going on in the heart of our spouse, because what's going on in the heart of our spouse is going to produce the conduct and the behavior that we see on the outside. We have to know what's happening on the inside. And that's why oftentimes in marriage counseling, a counselor will hear statements like, well, I didn't know that you felt that way. I didn't know that what I was doing was bothering you. I did not know that this or that was that important to you. I didn't know you wanted me to do that. I didn't know. You hear that all the time in relational counseling, because truthfully, the husband and wife do not know each other to the depth that God intended in the marriage relationship. Now, it is impossible to relate to your spouse as God intends unless you truly know them. And when we hold back and we refuse to open up to our spouse for whatever reason, even if it's, well, if I open up, it'll cause a problem, or it'll bring about this, or this will come up again. Listen, whatever that is, we have to get through it and solve it and move forward. Covering up something is never going to lead to the closeness that God intends for your relationship. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 4, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. We have to deal with things immediately, but we have to deal with things thoroughly. We've got to work through things, and that begins by being honest and open. Now, I'm not advocating just to let it all hang out. Under the auspices of, I need to be honest, I need to be open, that I'm just going to let her or let him have it. No, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So should we be honest and open? Yes. Should we know the depths of the heart of our spouse? Yes. Should we just let it all hang out and say things, however rude or abrupt they may be? No. We can be honest and still speak without evil communication or corrupt communication. We can still be honest and edifying at the same time. It's possible to be honest and to build up all in the same conversation. And that needs to be our pursuit in the marriage relationship. So what are some biblical principles that will guide us in being mutually open and honest? I want to look at these in the form of questions. Letter A. Let's ask the question, is it really true? Before we open up about something, let's determine in our heart, is it true? Do I have all the facts? The Bible says in Proverbs, he that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Have you ever gone on a compassionate pursuit about something only to discover it wasn't even true? Have you ever gotten mad at your spouse, maybe, about something only to find out that wasn't what it was at all? Have you ever come to the rescue of your children in some instance only to find out you didn't really have all the answers and they weren't as innocent as you first were led to believe they might have been? And I just challenge all of us in the marriage context, we need to be honest and we need to open, but before we start that conversation, we have to know at a heart level, is it true? Do I have all the facts? Is this an accurate assessment of what is happening? And if it's not, I better be careful and proceed that communication accordingly. So I don't know if this is true or not. We've got to preface things. Be careful. Is it really true? Letter B. Is what I would like to say profitable? And Brother Gabe told us to be honest and open, so that's what I'm going to do this week. Okay, that's great. Is what you're about to say truly profitable? Will it help or hurt? Is it constructive or destructive? Is it profitable? The Bible says there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. The lips of knowledge. The ability to know what to say and when nothing should be said. Is this profitable? What I'm about to say, is it going to help? Is it going to build up? Is it going to strengthen our marriage? Let her see. Is this the proper time for me to say it? What I feel like needs to be said, is this the right time for that to be said? It might be a hectic evening, and maybe there was a lot of training needing with the children, and maybe it was a tough day at work, or maybe an unexpected financial responsibility was discovered, or whatever the case may be. There's needing of discernment. Is this the right time to say something? Is this the right context to have that conversation? And we want to be careful to understand, maybe we need to have this, but maybe it needs to wait. Maybe this isn't the right time. I could force it right now, but I already know the outcome is not going to be good because I can sense the timing is not good. Listen, at the baseline, marriage is a commitment between an imperfect man and an imperfect woman, of which sometimes they're going to have a bad day. And there needs to be sensitivity and discernment in the marriage relationship to understand this may not be the best day to bring that up. Because I know him or I know her, and I know that this has the potential to go to a whole nother level unnecessarily because I'm forcing something that, yes, needs to be talked about, but no, it doesn't need to be right now. Is this the best time? Letter D, is my attitude right? We need honesty and we need openness, but is my attitude right? Speaking the truth in love. Am I truly saying this to my spouse from a heart of love? Is my attitude right? Or am I just trying to establish what I want? Am I trying to expose, where I think they're wrong. What is my attitude? What is my spirit? We need honesty. We need openness, but we need it to come in the right attitude, the truth in love. Letter E, are the words that I will use the best possible way of saying it? Have you ever said something to your spouse and the minute it came out, you thought, uh-oh, that was not good? Sometimes Susanna will look at me and she will say, did you mean to ask that way? And that is telltale sign for, you might want to reword that. To which I always say, no, I did not mean to ask it that way. Give me time to rethink that question, and I will come up with another one. But whatever I just said, I plead the fifth. I didn't know, you know. I had too many donuts in class or whatever. Brother Jacob didn't have the kale chips or whatever. Are the words I'm going to use the best possible way of saying it? I love the verse in Proverbs 12:25. Heaven is in the heart of man, maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Can I ask you an honest question? After you and your spouse have a time of conversing about whatever, something more than the weather, something about your relationship, something with some depth, does your spouse leave that conversation better? Do they leave it better? Are they encouraged? Are they lifted up? Are they edified? Is that the outcome? Because the Bible tells you and I in Scripture that a good word maketh it glad. There's plenty of negative out there. And I'm not saying not have openness. I'm not saying not have honesty. I'm just saying have an environment in marriage where you can be open and honest and say it in the best possible way all at the same time. Speaking a good word and making it glad. Here's a great test, letter F. Have I prayed about this matter? We need to be open. We need to be honest. But have I taken time to talk to God about it? Sometimes it's better to talk to God about something first than talk to our spouse, because sometimes when we talk to God, we don't even need to talk to our spouse. Because this major thing that happened that was so grievous to us, after we talked to God, it kind of got put in perspective. It wasn't really that big of a deal at all. In fact, it really didn't even need to be mentioned, because we just took some time to talk to God. Or we talked to God about it and we are convinced we should talk about it, but now we're going to our spouse in the right spirit and we're going prayed up and we're going prepared to have this communication, this conversation with them, because we've already had it with the Lord. The Bible says in Psalms, let the words of thy mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Are the words you and I communicate to our spouse acceptable in the sight of the Lord? Have we prayed before we entered into that conversation? And a good idea that will help all of us have the honesty and the openness in the marriage context that God wants us to have is to make sure that we're walking with the Lord as a husband and wife, that we're praying to the Lord, and that we are striving in His might to be honest and open one with the other. So how can we have good communication? A mutual openness and honesty. Number two, good communication requires self-control. If we're going to communicate as we should, we have to have self-control. And a lack of self-control is often displayed in many ways. But let's look at a couple of them. Letter A, anger. Anger is a display of a lack of self-control. Sometimes people will say, well, I just have a short fuse. I get angry quickly, but then I get over it right away. Or I believe in calling it like it is, and I believe in speaking my mind, but I don't really mean anything by it. And you can ask anyone, I don't hold any grudges. And sometimes people have a different way of kind of dismissing or explaining, but the root of it and the heart of it, there's anger there. And living with someone with a short fuse or with an anger problem is like living at the foot of an active volcano. You're never quite sure what's going to happen. I mean, no 2 days are the same, and you never know what's coming when someone is living with that condition. The old saying, stick and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. It's just simply not true. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs 12:18, in your notes, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:27, an ungodly man diggeth up evil and in his lips there is a burning fire. And look at the description in James of the tongue. Even so, verse 5, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a little matter of fire with kindeth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth a whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. Why? It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Wow. Boy, it's amazing the power of the words coming out of our mouth into the ears and hearts of our spouse. And when anger is apparent in the relationship, there's a lack of self-control and the lines of the communication are shut down. Benjamin Franklin once said, anger is never without a reason, but seldom a good one. And we have to be careful of allowing ourselves to be in a position of lacking self-control and being angry. The Bible says that we are to not be angry, or not to display that anger in the marriage relationship. It's like the man who spent 3.5 hours in long lines and dealing with rude employees and insane regulations at the DMV. He was trying to get some paperwork updated. And on his way home, this father stopped by a toy store. He needed to pick up a gift for his son for his birthday. He walked through the aisles and he found a baseball bat. He went up to the cash register and handed it to her. And she looked at him and she said, "Cash or charge?" And he looked at her and he said, "Cash." And he just snapped and was real angry as he did it. Then he felt bad and he apologized to the lady and said, "I'm sorry. I've just spent the entire afternoon at the DMV." And she said, "Oh, I understand." She said, "Now, would you like me to wrap this bat, or are you going to take it back over there?" Sometimes that's the way we want to handle a situation, right? Just give me a baseball bat and let me go after it. But that's not the way we should be handling things in our marriage relationship. And can I just challenge you, individually or as a couple, when you feel like you're beginning to get angry, just stop and pray. The Bible says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." We don't want to be in a relationship where we're feeding into this anger. We just want to stop and pray and speak as we should. But we want to make sure that in our ability to communicate that there is the self-control and that we're careful of the anger that may be in our heart. But how else is self-control, a lack thereof, manifest in a relationship? It might be anger. Let it be. It might be silence. Sometimes silence is an exposure of the fact that there's no control in our life or in our communication. One evening, a man and his wife called another couple just to see what they were doing. And they said, "Oh, we're just sitting around the fireplace and drinking coffee and talking." They finished the conversation. The wife hung up the phone. She looked over her husband. She goes, "Why don't we ever do that?" He said, "Do what?" And she said, "Just sit around and talk." He said, "Well, let's do it. Why don't you go put some coffee on?" So she went into the kitchen and she got the coffee made and fixed it up just like the way they liked. She brought it out to the living room where they were enjoying fellowship, and she gave him his coffee and she was enjoying her coffee. And they sat down and they're looking at the fire. They were drinking their coffee. They were looking at each other, and it was just completely silent. Finally, the husband looked at the wife and he said, "Well, call them back and find out what they were talking about." And sometimes it feels like we almost need a little help to get that conversation going. Sometimes there can be that awkward silence. And in addition to anger, another lack of self-control that hurts marriages is when we retreat into silence. And there may be times where silence is golden, but if that's the usual way of responding to the differences in your relationship, you'll never develop the closeness that God intends for you to enjoy in marriage. And the temptation in our relationship sometimes is to respond to disagreement with silence. We think that, listen, there's deep dark clouds coming and there's a storm about to break out, and if I just retreat into silence, it'll be okay. But the truth of the matter is that when we retreat into silence, then the disagreements, the conflicts, the things that may be brewing in the relationship, they only get worse. Why? Because silence is felt like hostility. Has there ever been a conversation that wasn't going well, and then it stopped, and husband and wife retreated apart, and then they came back together again, and when the conversation resumed, it was more heated than it was before. And the thought in the back of the mind was, how did this get worse? We haven't even seen each other. Because when we refuse to deal with stuff in the marriage relationship and we retreat to silence or ignoring one another, it comes across as hostility. It comes across like we don't care. It comes across like instead of doing the work to have the conversation and to get to the depth that we need to have to resolve it or to come to agreement, it's just easier to walk away and not have it at all. And it hurts the marriage relationship. So if we're going to have good communication, we cannot have anger and we cannot have silence. And again, I'm not advocating for, you know, if you're out of control, keep having the conversation anyway. The whole point is have control. But the point is, don't just walk away. Silence can do incredible hurt and damage to the marriage relationship. So refuse to walk away and be silent. Stay engaged in a loving way in the conversation with your spouse. Letter C, how else does a lack of self-control show up? Letter C, through a critical spirit. Through a critical spirit. When we don't understand what is being said or why, we get frustrated. And sometimes that shows up in our tone of voice, our facial expression, our body language. And it's a huge problem. When there's a critical spirit in the air in the way that we communicate one with the other. In Ephesians 5, husbands are commanded to love their wives, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. In fact, four times the husband is commanded in Ephesians 5 to love, but not one time is the wife ever commanded to love. But notice in Titus 2:4 in your notes that they may teach the young women, that's every woman in this room, to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their wives. So the word here in Titus is phileo, which is the brotherly kind of love. The love in Ephesians 5 is agape, that is to give ourselves for the other kind of love. And the point is that God created the woman to love her husband, to give herself for her family. She's just naturally wired that way. But God says she's going to have to be reminded to love and be kind. You're going to have to be careful to guard against this critical spirit. And sometimes when it comes to fighting with words, sometimes a wife may be better skilled, and sometimes the husband is hopeless. Even some women have admitted to having small, very seldom lapses of this negativity with their husbands and their children. These moments are known as PMS, the pre-murder syndrome. And when this is happening in the relationship, everyone runs and ducks for cover because no one doubts that the wife or the mom loves them, but in that moment, they're not sure if she likes them. And by the way, when a critical spirit arises, and particularly in the life of a wife, it's often because she's not sure she's loved by her husband, and a vicious cycle occurs. And I just want to challenge all of us as husband and wives to be very careful to guard against a critical spirit. When we hear criticism of us, it comes across as contempt, which means an attitude of utter disgust or hatred. And so we can be having a conversation and it's going nowhere. And in fact, it's getting worse because there's a critical spirit there. And as that critical spirit is communicated, it is just throwing out darts of utter disgust and hatred. That's why the Bible says in James 3:10, out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Both of us, the husband and the wife, must avoid a critical spirit and not saying anything that would hurt our spouse. And then letter D, we must avoid manipulation. Sometimes in the marriage relationship, the communication is not what it should be because we don't have control and it shows up in a manipulative spirit. I'm not saying sometimes in a conversation there won't be genuine tears. I'm not saying sometimes in a conversation there won't be different displays of emotion. But what I'm saying is you need to guard your heart, that there's not a go-to manipulative reaction that you have that the truth of the matter is, has nothing to do with whether or not the issue is resolved. It has everything to do with making sure you get your way. You've got to guard against that. Because if you're going to have the communication system that God wants you to have in your marriage and experience the closeness that God wants you to have, you're going to have to guard against anger. It cannot have residency in your house. You're going to have to guard against silence. Stay engaged in the conversation and work it through. Guard against a critical spirit. Don't say anything that's not the truth and love to your spouse. And guard against manipulation. The point is not to get your way or to win. The point is to resolve, grow, and go forward. And may God help us in our homes to have a good communication system. Be open and honest and have self-control. And we're going to do part two of this lesson in this series next week. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together and opening and studying your word. And Lord, I pray today that all of us would be encouraged and challenged regarding how we communicate as husband and wife. And Lord, would you help us to do the best of our ability according to your word and by the power of your spirit to communicate the way that we ought to do it. And may we be open and honest, and may we have self-control. And may the way we communicate with our spouse please and honor you. Lord, thank you for our class. I pray that you bless them this week with a wonderful Thanksgiving. Richly bless some time with their families. And then bring us back safely next Sunday as we gather and continue to learn how can we have a good communication system according to the Word of God. And we'll praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.